Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, it is a victory Monday.
Yes, it is.
The Bears are 1-1. Now, think about this. You go to Cleveland. We'll see what they do with Justin Fields. And then you get Detroit. And then, okay, like, let's say they lose in Cleveland. They beat Detroit. You're 2-2. We're going to Vegas then.
Going to Vegas, yeah.
And then 2-2, that's a big game against an up-and-coming team.
We've been there before, right, with the Raiders? Like, in a situation where it was a big game and then... Didn't go our way.
The shoe was on the other foot. It was like that was the London.
Right, but
the London trip.
What was the record? I mean, were they?
Well, the Bears were the good team then.
Right.
And the Raiders weren't. And we just got Khalil Mack. And we're like, we're going to show Gruden what we're all about.
Bam.
And the next thing you know, we're down. The Bears are down, like, what was it? 17-0?
Punched right in the mouth. We get punched over and over again.
They got there early. We didn't.
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
You remember that? That's just another thing. Like, big and small. Victory Monday is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. In case you're just getting into your car, the Bears didn't give you any indication on Andy Dalton's injury, except for the fact that it's not an ACL tear. What people are speculating, including Ian Rappaport, it's this bone bruise. A lot of people are thinking, which could keep bone bruises when the bones inside the knee bang against each other, could still be like a 2 to 4 week rehab, some people have speculated.
Well, that's why I'm pretty much speculating that Justin Fields will be your starting quarterback on Sunday because of the injury.
So then people are wondering, okay, so he starts then in this game, but then when Dalton does get healthy, is Andy Dalton the starter or is it Fields?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
So and then they
just always make it too hard.
Well, then Matt Nagy wanted the PR guy to go back into the room and clarify. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't understand Brad's question, supposedly. And then they clarified that Andy Dalton is their starting quarterback when healthy. Now, what does that mean? I did a poll question about it. I said, and I phrased it open-ended. I said, when Andy Dalton is physically able to play, whether that's Sunday, whether that's in 2 weeks, whatever the case, when Andy Dalton is physically able to play, who should start at quarterback for the Bears? And we've had over 2,000 votes in less than an hour. You can vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Check out toyota.com. Drive a Toyota. Justin Fields is leading by a long shot.
I'm shocked.
75%. But that 25% is a very, very loud minority, which continues. He's not ready.
Are they a loud minority? I barely hear a whisper.
I heard a lot.
Really?
See, Sylvie, Nagy was right. You were wrong. First of all, By the way,
today's injury update is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. No need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu.
Like, you've been with me this whole time. I've always said, if they said to us he's not ready, I could accept him not starting. My thing was always about going into training camp without giving him a chance to win. Like, even if it's a small chance that he could win the job, I didn't like that they put a governor on the kid before any competition started.
What you saw yesterday was not abnormal. I mean, you saw it in Jacksonville. You saw it in New York. You'll see it in New England at times with Mac Jones. I mean, it's... The ride for a rookie quarterback is not a smooth ride 9 times out of 10. The exception to the rule is someone like Justin Herbert. But even Justin Herbert, if you go back and look at his first three games, there were interceptions in each of those first three games. So, like,
Peyton Manning didn't look like Peyton Manning in his rookie year. I gave you the Tom Brady. I'm not comparing Justin Fields to Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. I'm telling you the greatest quarterbacks of all time, whether they waited a year to play like Brady – or they played right away and you saw the growing pains on the field, they didn't look close to like the greatest players in the beginning.
Yeah.
You've got to live with the growing pains to get to the greatness. Etch it down. I'm going to be repeating that over and over again.
She get that tattooed. Look, the thing that I resist is just that when the change is made, it's automatically going to be smooth and it's going to be dynamic and it's going to be great. History tells you that that's not really the case. And as I said, when we watched Justin take over and started in the final preseason game against the Titans, I said that there's a really good chance when he takes over, it's going to look like this. The first 30 minutes of that game, first 28 minutes, they had 30 yards and one first down.
Right.
Like, that's just the reality of life with a rookie quarterback. So if you want to yell at me that it's going to be 35 points a game as soon as Justin takes over, I just think it's highly unlikely. There are going to be bumps, especially when you have some other issues and other warts inside your offensive huddle.
You get better by playing in games, and you get better by getting number one reps in practice and getting on the same page with A-Rob and with Darnell Mooney and everybody else. Tony on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tony?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for taking my call.
You got it.
One thing about the situation with the Bears, I want to see Fields play. I do not care about Nagy giving you, trying to convince the fans that, you know, give them time. No, put them out there. Let them play. Let them get experience. A couple things. And make Montgomery your focus, because he's the key to Fields having a decent season, I think. No, I know. Because one thing about the Bears, they have no superstars on their team. None. The Bears are going to need better receivers for this young quarterback. That ball that Robinson dropped, I know everyone drops balls, but in that situation, you have to catch that ball because of Fields. Then Mooney. Who on the Bears team is a superstar? There's no superstars on their offense. And there's no superstars in the defense. So that team is in rebuilding mode, but Nagy and Pace is trying to buy more time so they can get another contract. They probably do have another contract. And Nagy hasn't convinced anyone that he was behind Patrick Mahomes' development. Now, if he has convinced anyone that, they have not watched Nagy
Tony,
for the last four or five years.
Tony, he's convinced two men. Their names are George and Ted.
What do you think? Do you think he had anything to do with Patrick Mahomes?
It's Andy Reid. It's much like the assistant coaches with.
I think I could have developed Patrick Mahomes. I mean, some guys don't even need your hands on, you know, whatever to develop. Patrick Mahomes was going to be a great player regardless. Now,
but that was his selling point. That was Pace's selling point. We're bringing in a quarterback coach that's going to be the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator or whatever he lied about that he had Patrick Mahomes. The Bears are in rebuilding mode, but they're not selling the rebuilding mode. They're saying that there's a possibility.
Listen, that's part of the issue, Tony. That's why you're getting Andy Dalton, because I don't believe they're a true contender. But they're telling you upstairs, up in their building, that they're in win now mode and they're contenders. That's how they view themselves. If this was Jacksonville or this was New York, that's a rebuilding mode. Justin Fields would be playing. They were an 8-8 team and went to the postseason last year. They're not going to take the approach that we're in rebuilding mode.
Yeah, but in contention for what? What are they really in contention for?
They're not, in my opinion, nothing. They're the oldest roster in football before cutdowns. Like, you don't have the oldest roster in football if you're in rebuilding mode. They don't believe they're rebuilding right now. And hence, that drives their decisions. It's really not that hard to... You may disagree with what they're doing, but it's not hard to decipher how they feel about themselves.
Brad is in Ohio. That's where the Bears are headed this weekend. A homecoming of sorts for Justin Fields. Brad, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
I was going to say the biggest encouragement Bears fans should take as a Bears fan in Ohio is just how bad Ohio State's offense has looked without Justin Fields.
Right. Like, people think that in Ryan Day's offense, it's just plug and play and everyone's going to be great. The kid showed that he was special when he left Georgia. and immediately came to Ohio State and found himself in the playoffs. And then they come out of COVID, and then he finds himself in the playoffs again, playing the biggest games and his best football.
Or you could just put the film on of the last 2 years of Justin Fields and watch him perform, and then you could come to that conclusion as well.
Yeah, of course.
That's the greatest.
You know, CJ Stroud has shown he's not Justin Fields, and we all know that good quarterbacks can make up for deficiencies in bad coaches.
Like, you know where, Brad, that, you know, Alabama's a good example of that, right? They just continue to get to the next great one. How many, like, they just plug and play, and the next guy is great. The next guy gets drafted in the top 10. How good are they, really? Tua, like, had another injury. How good is Mac Jones? We'll see. But you saw, like, that Justin Fields was probably the reason why that team was
He's certainly elevated everybody in that offensive huddle, for sure.
But, I mean, like, it was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
It was Tua. It was Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And now it's what? Is it Bryce Jones? What's his name?
Bryce Young.
I mean, like, he's doing just as well as any of them, right?
I could have used a few more scores on Saturday against Florida. Yeah, I would. I was pining for Mac Jones. Well, they came out, and would they have like a 14-point lead in the first quarter?
Yep.
Then they'd stop scoring.
Told you.
All right, 312-332-3776. Many different ways you can listen to the show. ESPN 1000, old AM 1000. It's now available in Crystal Clear FM HD. We can be found at 100.3 HD2. So go to 100.3 FM and then go up one and you'll get to 100.3 HD2. You probably have HD radio. You don't even know it. You can download the ESPN Chicago app. I suggest you do. You can listen live. You can listen on demand. Anything you miss during the day, all the shows are there, including some exclusive content like Crosstalk Unhinged. I told the golf club earlier. You've got Under the Hood is there. You've got what's that health show called? Armchair Nutritionist, of course. It's all there. And then you can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Search us, follow us, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Today's Twitch chat is brought to you by Pinehurst Resort. I want to get to the Mooney play. I think this is interesting. Waddle is a wide receiver. I've heard many different fans, I've heard analysts say, if it wasn't for the Mooney drop and the A-Rob drop, Justin Fields would have had a great day. Waddle wants to bring a little different perspective on the, quote, Mooney play. We'll play that for you coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The numbers weren't pretty. The false starts weren't pretty for Justin Fields either.
The sack fumble wasn't pretty. The interception wasn't pretty. The scramble on third down to secure the victory was pretty. The throw to Allen Robinson was pretty.
And now we get to this highlight. I want to play this for you because a lot of people are calling it the Mooney drop. I've heard that repeatedly, Waddle. That's why I asked you right away because you've taught me over the years that the ball, like with Mitch a lot of times, where it may not be a drop and like it's not supposed to be there or it's not supposed to look like that. So it was just off his fingertips, at least on one hand. Then on Fox.
How can it be a drop if it's just off of fingertips on one hand?
Well, and this is what the Fox crew was trying to sell you. The Fox crew was trying to say, you got to get two hands on that, is what he said. The analyst said that.
Yeah. It was Mark Sanchez. Yeah.
Right. Well, we got to get to him, too.
Like, I got to be honest. Yeah, I thought he had a good day.
But do you know another good example of anyone who says, who's an athlete, and they bitch and they moan about Chicago and their fans? Like, oh, they're too hard on us. Yeah. Mark Sanchez was here for 1 year. Yeah. 1 year. And he carried the bags for Mitch Trubisky. He was basically Mitch's caddy, and he was showing the ropes and how to live a life in the NFL. You know, he was Mitch's caddy. And yet he still made connections where he's getting taken care of in every bar and restaurant. Did you hear that?
The play-by-play guy said,
you know, boy, we were really, really treated
I think that, you know, there was some embellishment, but yeah, I mean, I think...
Well, only in Chicago.
Of course.
Like, this is in New York where he led a couple of teams and they beat the Peyton Manning Colts to get to the AFC Championship game. He played 1 year and he wore street clothes every game, but yet Mark Sanchez is still treated like gold here.
Yeah.
And it's a good example that this town is a sports
town.
They
want to love their athletes.
And they want to love. So this is on Fox yesterday, the throw to Darnell Mooney.
There was a lot of talk, wasn't fast enough, a 4.63 in the combine. Got him on top. His fingertips at the 30-yard line. Fields had good protection. Eli Apple trying to chase down Mooney, and the ball just couldn't be pulled in.
And so hard to chase a guy all the way across the field. They're going to blow the top off the defense right there. With Marquise Goodwin and his speed. Gosh, that looked like a great ball. We got to get two hands on that sucker.
Oh, Mooney.
So is that a great ball? There's Mark Sanchez saying it's, you know, he's coming from a quarterback.
Oh, so is it, I was going to say, is that gospel? Because Mark Sanchez,
that's why I'm asking.
Come on. Here's the deal. If we'll play this game. If this was Mitch, it'd be a crappy throw. We'd be kicking Mitch in the ass. It's not Mitch.
If it was Mitch, it would have sailed out of bounds.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying to you, if this was Mitch and I said that that's a catchable ball, I'd be a truther. That's what I'd be. Like, come on. Let's say Allen Robinson dropped the ball. Okay. I'd have to go back and look at this to be 100% secure with my evaluation of it. But that's a ball because Mooney's got such great speed. You throw it quicker, you let Mooney run to it. And if you wait too long and you throw it high and on a line, the sideline becomes a defender. So you throw it earlier. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the next series, they threw the exact same route, didn't they? Where did Darnell Mooney catch the ball?
More to the middle of the field, right?
Yeah, and when was the ball thrown?
Earlier.
Yes. So,
isn't that a good example, too, of why you play? Like, why playing is better? Because if it was not the perfect throw and something that you just tell me from one series to the next, he adjusted.
Well, he would have, I mean, he may throw that, I mean, against Penn State last year, he may have thrown the same route bad one time and good the second time. That's just playing quarterback. Like, that's not a drop in my book. And again, you can accuse me of favoring a wide receiver, but when there was a play, if you remember last year in the opening game of the season against Detroit, you remember when Anthony Miller on the sideline reached out and caught that ball one-handed? It was one of the most brilliant catches of the, you know, of the Bears season, I thought. It was just crazy. He was on the sideline, reached out. Like, had he not caught that and it went off his fingertips, would that have been a drop? I mean, come on. That's not a drop. That's where you come back and you say, look, you got to throw that ball a little sooner with a little more air, not so much on a line. I wouldn't put that on Darnell Mooney. I would just say it was close. Learn from it. They did learn from it. The very next series, it looked like they threw the same route, and he threw it earlier, and he threw it in a more catchable spot. But look, if you are predisposed and your narrative is Justin Fields the greatest thing since sliced bread, that's a drop. If you're realistic and you really just want to be honest about it, you'll say there are really good moments for Justin Fields. That wasn't a great throw, and you're just being honest about it. Like, we all want him to be great.
Right, right.
But you just don't make excuses for him.
People like to fit things the way.
Yes.
Like, I choose to look at it and say, like, even on his misses, it was still pretty damn close. Like, okay, you know what I mean?
Like, well, you don't, like, in the NFL, that's fine, but in the NFL, pretty damn close isn't going to take you anywhere.
Of course, right. And if this continues to happen as he grows, year two, year three, year four, and he just misses stuff, I'll grow tired of it, too, like I did with Cuddy. You know, but I choose to always give my guys, when I'm a Bears fan, I give my guys the benefit of the doubt until they prove to me they don't deserve it anymore.
And it was actually good coaching as well, because they saw the route was open. So they went back to it. And the second time they ran it, they completed it.
Right.
It's a learning experience. You know, there is going to be a period of time where Justin Fields continues to learn Mooney, learns A-Rob, learns all of these guys, knows how to time throws to different guys. I mean, that's part of the growth process. Mooney can flat out fly, and he runs really good routes.
Yeah.
So maybe next time, like he did the second opportunity, he realizes if there's no cornerback dropping back and there's this void there, throw it early and let Darnell run to it. Because, he's going to get there.
Right. And you know me. I have fought with Ryan Clark about Allen Robinson. I like A-Rob. You know,
I do, too. I think he's a fabulous player.
He's got to start coming down with some of these balls that are, you know, and that wasn't even a 50-50 ball. But that just went through his hands. I know it's not easy. You've been in that role.
No, but before, like, look, but if you're making $17 million a year, that's a catch that you have to make.
Right.
And Allen was totally, you know, accepted the responsibility for it.
Sure, like people were saying, that's a ball Keenan Allen catches. That's a ball where Keenan Allen catches the ball from Justin Herbert. That's a ball that A-Rob, if he wants Keenan Allen money,
yeah, there's no doubt
he's got to grab.
There's no
he's
question.
He's got to have that 2-touchdown big game.
Yes, and I think Allen, being a very accountable guy, would agree with you.
Rock on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rock?
Hey, Sylvie, you're my Bears anchor translator, brother.
Hey, what's going on?
In again today. Well, you know, I need to ask, get some lotto wisdom here. Jericho said earlier this morning that our receivers weren't really getting enough separation. So I got to piggyback off what another caller said earlier. Why aren't we running enough play action? I mean, shouldn't we really be running some kind of version of the Ravens offense? I mean, we got a quarterback that's running 4.3 40, man. That puts the stress, makes those linebackers come up. Everybody should be almost wide open. I don't know. But let me hear what you got to say there, Waddle.
I'd have to look at the film to see if there was no separation. You know, again, there were a couple of plays that looked like there was plenty of separation. If you're struggling to create separation, then that's up to the coach to put you in formation and motion and run routes that actually work to create that separation. That's the one thing that I think Darnell Mooney does. I think Marquise Goodwin does that they are able to create that space because the defenders have to acknowledge their speed. The play action will work for sure. The boot game has to be part of the equation as well with Justin Fields.
How about the one run? Did you see the film of Jimmy Graham whiffing on the tackle?
Yeah.
The much smaller guy. They're just a Jimmy Graham block away from running that in.
Okay, again, remember, guys, they had 206 total yards of offense. We all want this to, like, we want to see the Ravens. We want to see the Chiefs. The reality is that's not who they are right now. They had a touchdown drive from Andy Dalton. After that, Roquan Smith returns an interception for a touchdown that kicked two field goals. That was it. You had 13 points that was attributed to the offense. That's why you look at this situation and you're still concerned and you still have limitations. It's why I always talk about change the narrative. For a week, the defense changed the narrative.
Yes. Good job, defense.
And the coach now has a chance to change the narrative. You want us to feel differently about your ability to get the most out of your quarterbacks? You're playing a really good defense in Cleveland this weekend. And if, in fact, Justin Fields is starting, show us that you know how to put together a game plan for a dynamic young quarterback who's going to make some mistakes, but put him in position to take advantage of what he does well. Change the narrative.
The Texans sort of made it a game. What, they scored 21 on the road?
21, yeah. That was a game where the Texans were ahead. And again, if you fully want me to get on board this bus, then change the narrative. You lose to a good team, you beat a bad team. You're going to Cleveland to play a good team. Beat the Cleveland Browns in their building, and I'll feel differently about you. Until then, do you know who they are to me? They're my favorite team. But they're a team that beats the crap out of the bad teams, and they can't get over the hump against the good teams. We can thump our chest. We can feel great about everything. I'm going to get on board and ride with you when you start beating the better teams, because then I can believe in you as a legitimate contender. Until then, you're an 8-9, 9-8, 7-10 team.
It's a well said thing. Change the narrative, Matt Nagy. Design a plan for your young quarterback right now. Defense, go out and get Baker Mayfield. 332-3776. Let's continue to take some phone calls. We've got plenty of room for you. We're also 15 minutes away from your last chance to qualify today for this big trip to Las Vegas. At 3:45, you're going to hear the sounder. When you hear that sounder, you need to be caller 10. You'll then be in the hopper as a qualifier for 4:35, when we'll name the qualifier. When you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us. We're heading to Vegas October 8th through the 10th. Waddle and Sylvie and White Claw will stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and it's all brought to you by our friends and partners at idotslifeordeathillinois.com. So stay tuned, 15 minutes away from that.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Let's continue to take your phone calls, 332-3776. Waddle just gave a good thought on just, again, change the narrative. Matt Nagy, we've questioned you about, you know, you got the job because you said you could fix Mitch.
Listen, you think I want to come in here and bitch and complain every day? I don't. Like, despite what common belief may be, I don't. Like, I want to be out here hoisting bouquets at him.
Of course.
Like, that's what I want to do. Like,
change the narrative.
So, right. So change the way that we all... Defense, do it again. It was great yesterday. I felt like I got a time machine. I went back to 2018, what was all blue skies and sunshine. Club Dub was open, and the music was pumping, and the drinks were flowing. It was brilliant.
Eddie Jackson ruined a nearly flawless game when he ran into... Was it Christian they ran into? Who did he run into when they collided on the deep ball?
Was it Vildor? Was it Vildor?
It
was a 22.
Yeah, 22.
For the life of me, too, like, if I'm a Bengals fan, like, I know that Joe Burrow didn't have a lot of time, but I'm at this point, I'm asking Zach Taylor, what the F was that game plan?
Yeah, I didn't
that looked
like either.
They took the Bears game plan from the Rams game the Sunday night before and said, we're going to do the same thing.
Right.
Every Bears cornerback, God bless their hearts, was setting their feet and staring right at Burrow. And they made a bunch of really good plays. Jalen Johnson had himself a game and continues to make plays on the ball. Look, I mean, I don't know if it's incompetence or not, but when you see guys sitting on things like that and you've got the weapons that the Bengals do on the outside, and again, I know the rush was constant pressure creates a lot of havoc. But I was surprised that it took them so long to actually push the ball down the field.
Okay, well, Matt Nagy's in making Justin Fields game planning too. Can we see the kid? Can we see the tight end that's supposed to be our Travis Kelce? I mean, can we target him a little bit?
You know how big a football nerd I am? Like, I'm watching Travis Kelce last night. I'm sitting watching the game with my family. And I'm like, you watch this. As soon as Travis Kelce catches this ball with like that, the first thing he does is he turns right upfield and goes like I said, you watch. And then the next play, they throw a little, you know, stick route to Travis Kelce. And as soon as he catches, his first move is to spin and go straight upfield. The next play, they throw it to a wide receiver who catches it and looks around like somebody's going to hit him.
Wasn't that Travis Kelce 40-some-yard touchdown? That was porn, wasn't it?
It is.
I mean, like, I was yelling at my wife. I go, you got to see this play.
I know Cole Kmet went to the tight end camp, but if I'm teaching, I'm putting on the film of Kelce, not that crazy. I'm saying, watch this. When you're catching stick routes or slant routes, whatever it is, you catch the ball, the first thing you do is you turn and you go upfield.
Yep. Scott in Highland Park here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
We're good.
Listen, Waddle, I couldn't agree with you more about the narrative, okay? But my question really is, does Matt Nagy have a narrative? He's got Justin Fields, and he clearly didn't expect to play him as much because he didn't change the game plan. Yeah. This is a rookie quarterback who any rookie quarterback would have trouble passing in the pocket. What does he do? He passes him in the pocket. This guy is a great athlete. He can run. He can move. And you know what? You have to know your personnel. So I question whether he can create a narrative. The other thing is, can you explain to me, Waddle, why they passed the ball with 3 minutes left in the game for that interception? I'm going to hang up listening. Love you guys. Best part of my day.
Thank you, Scott. Look, those are very valid criticisms, and they're very good questions.
Was it a 10-point game then?
I think it was, but like, look, you're I don't want them to put the governor on him so much that it's just turn around and hand off, turn around and hand off, turn around and hand off. He only had 13 attempts. And if I'm not mistaken, Andy Dalton went out at what point of the game?
Early.
Yeah, so towards like 13 attempts on offense isn't a ton. So I don't think it was an overly aggressive game plan. I just, at the half, I was hoping they were going to come out and change some things up. Because you could tell, like everyone who said, if there's one thing I can say about Justin Fields, to be critical of him at Ohio State, hung onto the ball forever. But that was a product of their offense and their deep routes, and everything took time, and there were seven steps. And so I understand his sack totals were very high, but his touchdowns and his big plays were enormous, and his deep ball is brilliantly on target all the time. It's something that he's going to have to get used to. So after a several series in the first half, my hope was you would come out of halftime, you would make some adjustments, you'd try to get the kid some confidence and a little momentum by getting him out on the edge, run some boots. You don't have to completely dismantle your game plan to put some boots in. You just don't.
Just
it's part of your
right.
Yeah, it's help part of out. Your standard game. So I didn't see a whole lot of that. I don't think they did a lot to help get him comfortable. And my hope is that the game plan, which will be devised for him specifically this week, if in fact Andy Dalton is out, which I expect, and my hope is that it will look significantly different.
By the way, we're 5 minutes away from qualifying, so be ready for when you hear the Vegas sounder. Brian in Oak Lawn, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Happy Bears Victory Monday, boys.
You too, Brian.
So I want to talk a little bit about this. You guys saw the tweet about the PR stunt where the PR guy came out and named Andy Dalton the starter when healthy. Did you guys talk about this already?
Yeah, it wasn't a stunt. I know you're tongue-in-cheek here. But so yeah. Nagy said this, for those who are just catching up, he was asked if healthy, is Andy Dalton the starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
And then the PR guy came in and he said, Matt wants everyone to know what he meant was, is that Andy's our quarterback when he's healthy. All right, so do you pick it up from there, Bri?
Yeah, no.
So I'm gonna go in and call this. This is an indictment on one guy, and that's Ryan Pace. Because he's sending a PR rep out there to say that. You can say what you want about Nagy wants to clarify. I think that came straight from Ryan Pace because he's got two of our top 10 or top 11 paid guys in terms of their cap hit this year are Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. And he needs to save face if he's not playing. And a third guy on that list who barely plays and doesn't even make an impact is Jimmy Graham. Say what you want about Nagy. The guy's offense to be determined. I want to see him let Justin Fields loose and let him cook. But Ryan Pace has got to go for how poorly managed our cap situation is heading into this year. We got a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. This is where we should be bringing in veterans and have some money to spend. And we have one of the worst cap situations in the entire league.
You're right about that. But what do you think about it?
On a scale of...
Enjoy the victory this Monday, and I'm going
to
hang up.
Wait, he wants to ask you something. Go.
I was going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, the shock meter. I would be a 9.8 with regard to whether or not it was Ryan Pace that sent the media guy back out.
I'm not that high. Not in Bears land.
The coach.
Not in Bears land, though. I'm not saying that happened. I'm not buying. I love the yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
What does that mean? Yeah, no.
We all say it, though. Super Midwestern. Yeah, no means yeah.
I say it, too.
Yeah, no means yeah. No yeah means no. No,
yeah.
No means yes.
What does yeah, no, yeah, no mean? Yeah?
Yeah, no.
You have to translate the Midwest dialect a little bit. I don't know what he's saying there. So Sylvie, maybe you can fill me in a little better because I was talking to Chris. Is already mad at me, but fill me in about this.
Get
okay.
To that later.
So when the Bears were in the playoffs and Lovey was here and it leaked that I believe it was Orton or Grossman was the starter. And he was saying that he could. How did people react
when
Lovey said he wasn't going to tell people who his quarterback was because it was scheme related?
I don't know. What do you mean, fans?
Yeah, because I feel like
it's
scheme related. It's too different.
Trust factor.
But you do run your scheme differently. Like if I'm a defense and I'm preparing, I'm going to prepare differently for Fields than I am for Dalton.
Yeah,
I hate to say that I'm defending Nagy.
Yeah, but no.
He.
So then why did he clarify it then?
Well, leave it at the scheme related,
and I'm not telling anybody. I don't need to send the guy back.
That's dumb, too. That's dumb, yes. But to me, it kind of is scheme related. If you're facing a good defense, to be like, well, maybe we'll start Dalton, maybe we'll start Fields. I'm not telling
you. The question itself is if Andy Dalton is healthy, is he your starter? That's not a scheme related question. The scheme related question is, will Andy play this week? Because then you are going to keep him guessing. Right, because the game plan will be like when the game plan was between Kyle Lorton and Rex Grossman, it was the same damn game plan.
So this is scheme then.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Viva!
There you go. Let's do it. This is the last qualification. 332-3776. Not even a bad press conference will screw us up in Vegas. We're gonna be rolling in Vegas at the Circa Resort. Stadium Swim is what it's called, where we're broadcasting from.
Google that. No, I'm not you. I'm saying people out there, Google that and get a view of what that thing is all about.
Everyone,
it's unbelievable.
Do that. If you're in front of your computer, Google Stadium Swim. And this is all brought to you by IDOT. We appreciate their support. IDOTLifeOrDeathIllinois.com. Caller 10 right now. You're our last qualifier to get in the hopper. Okay, now here's what you need to know. If you do qualify at 4:35, we're going to pick one of the qualifiers, which started today at 7 o'clock. Cap'n J Hood. It went through Carmen and Yurko, then a couple of hours with us. 4:35, we're going to pick the grand prize winner. You'll have 10 minutes to call. If we don't hear from you in 10 minutes, we're going to be on to the next name. So even if you've qualified and you don't hear your name, keep listening to make sure that the person doesn't drop the ball, because we may announce a second caller. 332-3776. The nuttiest story of the day and more of your Bears phone calls are next.
Yeah, no.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle's World, and this is Waddle's World. This is a Monday edition of Waddle's World during the NFL season, where we take all of your calls instead of me tell you stupid crap you don't want to know anyway.
No, we do want to.
Brought to you by great partners at Wintrust. They are fantastic people. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust community bank, visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC.
Our last qualifier was Stephanie Johnson in Batavia. Don't forget, at 4:35, all the qualifiers in the hopper, we will draw the grand prize winner at 4:35. If you hear your name, you will have 10 minutes to call at 312-332-3776.
Okay, real quick, fair or foul? Let's play a really quick game of fair or foul. Okay, Chris Black, as we know, is a very gracious host. He has taken Adam Abdallah to several Bears games. They've just got kind of a football vibe together, the two of them.
And more than a football vibe.
Want to know this season.
They have a bro vibe.
Want to know this season. I mean, and we're saying that in a good way.
They are brothers.
Yes. So Chris's lovely wife could not go to the game. So Chris being a good...
No, she... She was that. I got a ticket to the game.
I got a ticket to the game. That's all that matters.
Okay, yeah. So you got a ticket to the game. So what happened today was Adam got a tip that Metallica may be playing somewhere here locally, and there's a good opportunity.
They're playing at the Metro.
You can go get your Metallica on.
I got a text this morning from a friend here and said, get your butt to the Metro. And I'm like, all right, I'm a 10-minute walk from the Metro.
That is some tip.
So I got
there.
That is
a good tip.
That's a great tip.
It's like a Carmen DeFalco gambling tip on Friday. Just the tips.
This is more than a trend. This was a fact. And so I waited there until, I mean, what time did I walk in, guys? 1:50?
Yeah, about that.
And so...
Just right before me.
Yeah, yeah. And I procured a wristband to this event tonight. Yeah. But Chris was upset. And I didn't know he was upset.
I'm not upset. First of all, I just think it's funny. That,
why not an offer? Why not, hey, Chris, guess what? I just got a tip.
My dad has a great tailgate for you.
I've gone to hundreds of concerts. since Chris and I have
You've
been friends.
You've also gone to hundreds of Bears games.
Hundreds of concerts since Chris and I have been friends.
Probably,
gone,
more Bears games,
he's
to
gone
be honest.
To yeah. one of, that's not true. He's gone Probably to is. One of them with me.
Okay, so your point is that Chris wouldn't go to Metallica concert. It's not his thing. Were you when
this
Chris
is a big
called
tip,
you
though? This is Metallica yeah. at the Metro for $20.
Okay, let me so ask you guys that, a but Chris, let me ask yeah. you. Yeah. Like, I'm sure you talked to Adam earlier today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did he tell you what he was doing, or did he keep that from you?
He just kept updating the estimated time of arrival to work today. It just kept getting later and later.
He didn't say, hey, I'm at the Metro Metallica.
Until I finally reached out and asked, is everything okay? Because I thought something was wrong with either his wife, his dog, him. Something was amiss. And then he's, I'm in line for Metallica tickets.
And then
really?
Did you give the point to Abdallah that they were only giving one ticket
yeah, well,
per
look,
person.
Look, if so, they were like, given two, I would have been like, hey, do you want to come? I'll get you
well,
a ticket.
This is where you need to tell him, too. He needs to get his butt there because I can't buy
but
for
you guys
a second
understand.
Person.
Bro, you want to go to Metallica with me tonight? $20 at the
you
Metro.
Guys,
two
look,
of us.
Do I
Hold
regret,
on, stop
do I regret not
stop,
informing
stop,
him?
Stop. Let me ask these guys a question. Waddle and Sylvie, have I ever been to a Metallica concert with Abdallah?
I don't know.
Yes,
yeah,
the answer is yes.
Long ass time ago.
Oh, yeah, wow. yeah. Oh, yes. The answer is yes. Whoa. Yes.
Plot twist.
There's a turn in this story.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
Oh, but what? Yeah, I enjoyed it. Are you kidding me? It's
My
Metallica.
Point is this, though. There's a difference. We had tickets. We drove to the show. We drove back from the
You're
show.
You're backing up like a cornerback right now.
Is there any
right
part
now?
Of you that,
that
was, for whatever reason, keeping the info away
no,
from Chris?
No. No, I just know.
He just had such a great time yesterday.
He just decided Chris didn't want to go.
Can I finish? The
tables turned there too, right?
Listen,
when we're trying to
listen. The one thing they've noticed, Sylvia, you're going to town on those blueberries.
They're so good, Michigan blueberries.
Aren't they bigger? They're bigger this year. I feel like.
Ignore the
they're
issue.
Ample blueberries. No, here's my point. I don't care what it is. I know my friend Chris Black is not waiting 4 hours. Standing in the rain for
you
about 2 hours.
Why don't you ask
I
him?
Do. Yeah. I know
he called you
never,
and asked you if you wanted to go to the Bears Bengals game.
Never showed up.
Not
never.
True. Not true. It was in the neighborhood.
Would you have come?
There
have
gone way in. Way
no,
in
listen. Right. I'm admitting it was foul. I should have told him.
You
should have told him. I'm a bad guy.
Take that.
I have a T-shirt for him if he wants.
Taunting penalty on Abdallah.
We'll get to that as well.
Twitch chat. Pinehurst Resort is the sponsor today. Fair or foul, list it right now. Waddle, what's the nuttiest story
By
of the,
the
day?
Way, yes, the nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Since a football Monday, and it's a victory Monday, football referees trapped in locker room, door blocked with a vending machine, file charges. We go to Columbus, Ohio.
That sounds like a very Columbus, Ohio thing to do.
Keith Dalton and his crew of high school football referees
say
they were officiating a game between Grove City High School and Central Crossing High School last Friday when after the game, they suddenly got locked inside the Grove City locker room.
That's pretty funny.
We as a group have now filed charges against Grove City, said Dalton, a high school referee with the Central Ohio Football Association. Dalton believes his action was taken against him and his crew for a controversial call made during the game, after which he says an assistant coach for Grove City came onto the field and was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Once the game ended, Dalton says he and his crew were inside the locker room being evaluated on their performance when the door was barricaded from the outside with a vending machine.
Wow, they put a vending machine in front of the door.
That's what Chicago Bears fans are going to try and do for Andy Dalton when he's cleared by the doctors.
I don't know about that. All right, if you want to weigh in, we'll recap the story of the day. What is Dalton's injury? Who plays if Dalton is healthy? 312-332-3776. I still don't know if the Bears have an answer for that if you want to weigh in. And we do have to get to the taunting stuff, too.
Yes.
You mentioned taunting. Let's go there, too, next. We're back in 2 short minutes.